Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm on the lawn of, well, it's a lawn, and I'm sitting here with a bunch of people, about 10 people who are grad students at the University of Minnesota, asking a philosophical question. Gang, the philosophical question is this. You're walking along by yourself, and you come across a swimming pool, and inside of this swimming pool, a stranger is drowning in the pool, screaming for help. But then you notice so is your dog, your pet dog, whom you love, is also drowning in the swimming pool. Now, they're both drowning. You've only got seconds to respond. You can only save one. Quick, which one would you save and why? Can you tell me which one would you save? Which one would you save?
I don't know. I'm not a good swimmer.
They've got a life ring you can throw in.
Who's ever's closest.
Okay.
The easiest one.
The easiest one. All right. Sir, what about you? Nope. Don't want to answer? What about you? Hold on a second. I'm going to go around the tree. Sir, which one would you save?
I'd probably save the stranger.
Why?
Well, I mean, it's just a dog. You can get another dog.
All right. Sir, which one would you save?
Without a doubt, the person.
Why?
It's just the right thing to do.
You've got a lifeguard shirt on to boot.
Yeah.
Are you a lifeguard?
Yeah, well, I was for 8 years.
Okay, why is it the right thing to do?
It just is. In fact, in Costa Rica, when I was in college, a guy that was on our trip that I knew did the same thing in the ocean, and we ended up becoming best friends.
Saved a human instead of a dog. All right. Sir, save the human, save the dog.
I don't have any pet. Maybe I would like to save the dog as my pet.
Save the dog because it's your pet. All right. Sir, what about you?
My answer is I would not have a dog that couldn't swim, so it wouldn't be an issue.
All right, cut it out. Which one would you save?
That's it.
All right, fine. Sir, which one would you save?
I won't save the dog. I don't like dogs.
So you'd save the person?
Yeah.
Okay, because you don't like dogs. Do you like cats?
No.
Do you like any animal?
Fish.
Would you save the fish or the... Well, that's probably not going to work out real well. Would you save an animal you loved or the person?
I don't know. In this case, I would save the person.
All right, what about you?
How about person?
Why?
Because I think he has mind and, you know, it's just like me, so probably save a person. Maybe he has also families and careers and something like that.
Dog has puppies, too.
That's true, but I'm not a dog, at least.
Okay, sir, what about you?
So I'm going to save both. I used my left hand to save dog. But
You don't have that choice. You can only save one.
I hope I can have two choices.
You don't have one. Quick, they're going down. Which one would you save?
Otherwise, I'm going to save the person.
Why?
Because I neck the person more than neck the dog.
All right. Sir, what about you?
I would save the person.
Why?
Because a person is a more valuable life than a dog. I mean, I like dog. I have one. I love him. But a person is always, no matter what, is always more important than...
Why do you believe that?
I place a value in certain thing, and the value of a person is limit, doesn't have any limit. Between a dog and a chair, I would save the dog and destroy the chair, let's suppose. But between a person and a dog, the person comes first, then comes the dog. And there cannot be other things that come after a dog's, like objects, they don't have no life. Then a dog which has a life is more important. After all, we eat animal. I mean, I just finished to eat pizza with pepperoni. That comes from an animal. Just the fact that we don't eat dogs because it's more of a costume. We are costumed to keep them as pet and not...
Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Italy.
Oh, you're from Italy? Far out. Okay, I want to ask another question, all right? Hey, can I ask you one more question? Can you stand it? I want you to answer the question on my shirt. It says, are you a good person? And I want you to answer if you think you're a good person and why, all right? Sir, do you think you're a good person?
I don't know.
Man, you are decisive about nothing!
Maybe I'm a good person.
Why do you think that?
I'm a faithful friend. I'm helpful when they need help.
All right, sir, do you think you're a good person?
No, I don't think I'm a good person.
Really? Why not?
Because I don't even figure out any reason to answer why I'm a good person.
So you are a good person?
I hope so.
You hope so. All right, sir, do you think you're a good person?
Good's a pretty relative word.
Yeah, you define it any way you want to. Do you think you are one?
When I need to be.
Why do you think that?
Because when it comes down to it, I can have morals if somewhere deep down inside if I really need to have them.
May I ask who defines your morals?
I do.
Sir, do you think you're a good person?
I think I'm a good person. I think sometimes I do bad things.
And why do you think that?
Well, most of the time because they're fun.
But, all right, let me ask this fellow who's leaning against a tree. This is like some sort of Aristotle or... Yeah, do you think you're a good person?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't save the dog.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so what do you think? Do you think you're a good person?
I think I'm pretty good, yeah.
And why do you think that?
Because I mean well.
Right, your intentions are good. Do you want to talk to me? No. Do you want to talk? Do you think you're a good person? Do you want to talk to me? Do you think you're a good person? No. Sir, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Why?
I'm better than most of them.
Wow, Simon Cowell. Italian, sir. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Most of the time, yes. I make mistakes as everybody. But I have a set of moral rules that I follow, and even if it is fine hard, most of the time I stick to it. So those things that I consider to be positive, I stick to that. But other people may have a different definition, so everything is relative to who you're speaking about.
All right, for you?
For me, it's good. Can be seen as bad. When you are looking at what I'm doing, from your perspective, it can be seen as negative. What for me, I think is good.
Here's my question for you now. Does anybody here believe in an afterlife? And if so, what is it? In other words, where do you think you're going when you die? That's a bad question? Where do you think you're going when you die?
I believe in God.
You believe in God. So where are you going when you die?
I don't know. Have you ever heard of one of the... I have several theories. I believe in existence of God, and I believe in the existence of an afterlife. I was raised Catholic. I'm not Catholic. I refuse it for several reasons. So I don't believe... I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in a very set religion. I believe in my own religion, but I believe there is something. What it is exactly is difficult to define. I really like a lot the Kabbalistic theory. As spirit of all the people, after they are dead, after dying, they form what's God. So it's the unity of all the spirit of all the people to be part of God, to be God itself.
That's, okay, fair enough. All right, how's about this question? Do you believe in moral absolutes, good versus evil? Do you think that there's good and evil in the world? Sir, do you think there's good and evil?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
All right. Asked and answered. Sir, do you think there's good and evil?
Yeah, there's good and evil in everybody.
In everybody. All right. Sir, good and evil in the world?
Well, I think there's good and evil in the world, but I don't believe in moral absolutes. I mean...
Then how do you know there's good and evil?
Well, evil to one person may not be evil to another. It's all based on your perspective,
That's moral relativism.
Yeah.
Okay, but you believe there's good and evil.
I do.
Because by the way you define it.
Right.
All right, so tell me, who do you consider to be a good person? Give me an example of a good person. Give me an example of an evil person.
Good person.
Besides yourself, because you said before you're a good person.
Right. Like somebody you would know?
Sure.
Okay, well.
Tell me who's an evil person, in your opinion.
An evil person. Well, I'd say, in my opinion, people who take advantage of those less fortunate, less able, able to protect themselves. That's somebody who's evil.
Hey, everybody, thank you very much for talking to me. I appreciate it very much. Bye. Just talking to a bunch of graduate students. And basically what you just heard is a typical sort of response from most folks about worldview. Kind of a mingling of postmodernism, moral relativism, and a worldview that is not informed by, well, we didn't hear much, did we? you are thinking, do I need to go to Ecuador on a missions trip to find some people to save? Nope. You could try the U. You could try down the street. You could try in your church. This is everywhere, Christian. This is just plain everywhere. Two, count them two thoughts if you don't mind. One is, we've heard polls, we've heard surveys, when people have been asked if you are religious or spiritual, and we are overwhelmingly a spiritual nation. Now, I should have done it, but I would guess that if I had asked that group of 10 people that are graduate students, if I'd asked them if they were spiritual, my guess is they would all say yes. Yes, I am. So there you have it. That is what spirituality is in America. Cum se, cum sa. Little of this, little of that. I believe this. I'm guided by that. And as I think the Italian fellow was saying, is that kind of making up stuff as he goes, creating a god and a religion to suit himself. That's what spirituality is in America. And it's a deception. Okay, well then. And it's Witness Wednesday, and we're talking to folks, hearing religious worldviews, hearing how people define right and wrong, if they consider themselves to be a good person. And then if the situation lends itself, we jump in and we do some witnessing. Let's see who we can talk to next.
This is Wretched Radio. Let me tell you exactly what's happening at Fortis Institute, because it's pretty remarkable. While most organizations are scaling back, we're scaling up. We have 8 new voices reaching millions of people all over the world, adding more radio stations monthly, and churches are getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And no, this is not going to be one of those fundraising pitches where we tell you that the sky is falling. It's quite the opposite. We're growing, we're reaching more people, and we're seeing more impact than ever before. The problem isn't that we're struggling, it's that we can't keep up with the demand for biblical truth. That's a good problem to have, and that's where you come in. Right now, every gift to Fortis Institute is doubled through a matching grant. That means double the resources, double the reach, double the impact. And unlike all of those late night TV offers, this one's actually legitimate. Think about it. More believers equipped, more churches strengthened, and more truth being taught. And your gift makes twice the impact until December 31st. Just visit FortisInstitute.org to get all of the details. FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle, and there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture sprint away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing. While others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching, it literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on. I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, could I talk to you for a second on the radio? What is this for? We're talking to people about their priorities in life. What are important things in life? What do you value the most? What do you think is the most important thing in the world to you? Can you answer that question?
What's the most important thing to me?
Yeah.
A lot of things. My health, my quality of life. Humanity, more specific.
That'll do just fine. All right, let me ask you a philosophical question. Let's say that you were walking along and you came across a swimming pool. And inside of the swimming pool, a stranger, somebody you didn't know, was drowning. And they're thrashing around, help me, help me. I'm drowning, I can't swim. And there was also your dog in the swimming pool. If you had a dog. And your dog is drowning in the swimming pool. All right? Now,
my dog wouldn't be drowning.
The point is, this is just a story. So let's say that your dog or a dog was drowning and you have time to save just one of them. All right? You've got seconds to respond. Would you save the dog? Would you save the person, the stranger?
I can only save one. I'd probably save the person.
How come?
And try to help the dog.
Why would you save the person first?
Because of the value that we place on human life versus animals.
All right, fair enough. Okay, here's another one. This one's a real toughie. You ready? You can only save one group of people. Ready? Here's your three choices. You can only save one group. Huh?
I'm not going to do it. Go ahead.
You're going to hate this question. Ready? Where am I going?
Go ahead.
Where do you think I'm going?
You're going along either race or ethnic lines or class lines or... Okay, but go ahead.
All right. Well, I wasn't, but okay. Here's the question. You can save an airplane full of people from China, some people you don't know, 500 people in a Chinese airplane. You can save a bus full of school children or your best friend.
Ooh.
Which one would you choose?
What's the purpose of this?
Just philosophy, just how you decide what has value.
I'd probably go with the school kids.
How come?
When you calculate it out, what do they call that? The potential. So you have a bunch of school kids, which are younger, which have a longer period of time in which to contribute to the human race.
Okay, I got it. All right, fair enough. All right, one more question for you. By the way, what are you working on? Just curious.
I'm working on a proposal for my program.
Okay, here's my question. Let's say that I came up to you today, but instead of with a microphone, I was in big trouble. Somebody had fired a gun through my chest, and I was bleeding, and I'm gasping for breath, and I'm in horrible shape, and I had a terrified look in my face, and I said, help, are you getting paid for this? Huh, I don't know. And I was in big trouble, and I came up to you on my knees, and I said, help me, I'm terrified of dying. I'm afraid of dying. Help me. I don't know what's on the other side. Can you tell me anything? I've only got 3 minutes to live. What would you say to me?
What would I say to you? I would try to get you to calm down and explain that, what's my little thing? It's, you know, that dying is a natural part of life. It's another life experience.
But I'm scared. I'm terrified. Help me.
And I wouldn't react to that. I would just try to remain calm, to get help. And probably convince you that you're going to be okay.
I don't want to go to hell. Help me.
You don't want to. How do you know you're going to hell?
I don't know. I'm afraid.
I don't know.
Do you believe anything?
Yeah, I do.
Help me. Tell me. I'm all for it.
Okay. What is the purpose of this this thing?
We're just talking to people about stuff like this. Just their beliefs, their how they make decisions.
I don't know that. I would just, again, you don't know that you're going to hell. Well, okay.
I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. Help me. And now I've only got a minute 54.
Well, you're toast.
You're cheery. Help!
But I mean, I guess, you know, I just get really philosophical and just, again, try to calm you down and, you know, assure you that everything was going to be okay. And
so I'm going to heaven?
Encourage you to make peace with your past and maybe ask for forgiveness and, you know.
Who do I ask?
You could be whoever that is for you. It could be the universe. It could be God. It could be your family.
All right. Thank you very much. I just passed out on the sidewalk. Thank you very much for talking to me. Thanks. I appreciate it. See ya. All right. Couple of thoughts. One thought is this. The answer to the question about the plane full of children or plane full of Chinese people, the bus full of kids and the best friend. The reason that that's such a wonderful question to ask, the right answer, now I'm not saying it's the easy answer, but in my opinion, the right answer is the plane full of Chinese people. Because all of those lives that are described have the same value, not potential contributions, because for all you know, one of the kids on the school bus could be Charles Manson's nephew. So there's also a great deal of potential to do bad. It is not about potentiality. It is about the value of human life. And while I confess I would struggle mightily to make that decision also, the right answer is the quantity of life because they all have the same quality. And that's why when people are unable to answer that question, we find ourselves struggling with the abortion issue, don't we? Because they wrestle with the concept of quality of life. The answer to the question, whose life has more value? The old person in the nursing home waiting to die or the young person? The right answer is they both have the same value. It's not about the number of days they have left. For all you know, the baby could get dropped in the street and run over by a bus long before the old lady dies. You see, it's not about potential. It's not about the quantity, but it is about the quality of every single life. And until we figure that out, we're going to struggle with life issues at the beginning and at the end. Now, those are tough scenarios, but the purpose of it is for understanding how we should be viewing life. Now, regarding the last topic that we were on with this lady, regarding what would you tell me to believe in, what would you tell me to do in so that I don't go to heaven or hell? And she said, make peace with whomever you believe in. Well, we didn't need to explore that very much because we've heard that so often. That's just your postmodern mindset. You know, talk to the God of your own making, you know, whatever graven image you've fashioned to suit yourself, talk to that thing and you'll be fine. That's postmodernism, that you can create a religion to suit yourself and your belief is your belief and that's fine for you. We've heard it 100 times now on this program. But the reason that I'm glad that it came up again is because of the amount of struggling that she did in explaining her faith. Is the exact same struggle that we heard with other people here at the U who claim to be Christian. People who call themselves Christians can't explain what to do. But might I encourage you to make sure that, first of all, you can give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Do this role play at home. First of all, with yourself before you get there. And make sure that you can articulate it. Somebody comes up to you and they're dying. Okay, maybe you find that analogy a little bit morbid. Let's try this morbid analogy. You're walking into a hospital, and you hear somebody's voice calling out from a bedroom, hey, help me, come here, help me. So you walk in, and somebody says, I've got a terminal illness. I'm dying for certain, and I'm scared, and I'm just feeling like this is it. I'm on my last breaths here. Help. What would you say? What would you say? Articulate it for yourself, and then do it with your family. Start right there. Do it with your kids. Help your kids. I'm telling you, this is so foundational. This is so at the core. If we can learn to articulate this, what one must do to be saved, and to understand that it is by repenting and placing your trust in Jesus Christ, oh, It's going to cure a lot of ills. It's going to cure a lot of confusion. It's going to make a lot of problems inside of the church go away, because the foundation will be on Jesus Christ, and it'll be sure, and it'll be solid, and it'll be measured right, and so that everything that'll be built on it will be accurate also. And so all these other problems and all this squishiness that exists in the church will disappear, because people will need to make a decision. Please, get your own theology on this articulated. It's not that you have wrong theology, but just get it articulated, that it's about repenting and trusting. And then teach that to your children. Start with yourself. Start with your family. Start dealing with the kids in your Sunday school class, or pastor, start dealing with your congregation. You're going to be stunned at how many people don't have the ability to articulate this. Start with you, your house, your church, and then let's go from there. And might I suggest, let's do it quick. Time is short and hell is hot. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.